Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts, the podcast where nothing is off limits. I thought you meant to... Sorry, I just said it, yeah. Nothing's off limits on this podcast.
That doesn't sound like it was a decision that we made together. Apparently it's not.
I've got a question for you. Here's a question, because lots of people don't know this. How do you pronounce your first name? Is it Ugo or is it Hugo?
I don't know. Genuinely.
What do you mean you don't know?
Genuinely don't know. Because my full name is actually Ugochukwu.
Ugochukwu?
Yeah.
Ugochukwu.
Why don't you have that? Ugochukwu?
I don't know.
You didn't like it?
I don't know. I've always just been called... See, this is it. So I said Ugochukwu, so probably Ugo?
Yeah, it's Ugo. I've always said Ugo, but people say Hugo.
I said it was Yu-Gi-Oh. Yu-Gi-Oh.
Hugo.
Yu-Gi-Oh. I like Yu-Gi-Oh.
You
sound
like a Pokemon.
Can we go with that?
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh.
You want to go
Yu-Gi-Oh? No, Yu-Gi-Oh.
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 See, I genuinely don't mind, just so long as it's not Hugo. And it's
that's
so...
That's not your name.
Exactly.
It's Hugo.
100%.
Well, thankfully, you'll be fine.
Because I'll go, check into a hotel, and they'll be like, oh, what's your name? Like, oh, it's Hugo. And they'll go, oh, Hugo. And I'm like, no, can you just repeat what I said to you? I didn't say that. I genuinely didn't say that. Hi, what's your name? Annabelle. Hi, Hannah. No, you just, like...
It's a slightly bigger leap.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Yes. Yes, I exaggerated for effect, okay? Let me breathe.
Slightly bigger leap. Let me breathe.
I want to hear about you guys in Japan.
Oh, we had a. Well, you can explain it better. We had
it
a great
sounded
time.
Fucking great.
It was one of the funnest trips I have honestly ever had in just lots of ways.
But had you ever been to Japan?
No, I'd never been.
I'd never been to Japan. So it was ahead of the World Cup in 2019, and I got this piece of work commissioned, and they said, I would like to take like a non-professional out, but a non-professional that likes rugby. And I was like, Jamie.
Can I just quickly say, before we went on the trip, it was with O2, right?
And yes, and he's still being paid by them.
Yeah. And Hugo had O2. Commissioned it.
Their reception is great.
He had commissioned. He's like, Jamie, listen, it's going to happen. It's really great. Then what happened was about a month before, I did a job with EE, and he phoned me and went,
I can't believe it.
Tell me you haven't just done a job with EE. I went, yeah. And he went, what about our O2 job coming up? Might have cancelled the whole thing. And I was like, well, so I didn't realise that.
Jamie needs to eat.
You're a network whore.
Yes, I know.
Network whore. But anyway, we go out there, what happens?
So we go out there and we had loads of different things. So it was trying to twin the values of the country with the values of the England rugby team.
Bushido values. It was loyalty.
Respect. It's like the core values that underpin like their culture.
Right.
And the English, like the RFU, Rugby Football Union's values are called TREDS, which are teamwork, respect, enjoyment, discipline, sportsmanship.
It is quite a disciplined, it's rigid society, isn't it, Japan? Like,
that was my perception. And it is to a certain extent, but I've never met. Do you know when you go on holiday?
It was loyalty, honor, respect, justice,
manners.
And yeah. Anyway, it's basically these amazing things that you live by. Mm. That was the whole point of it.
So we went and did loads of different activities which would display them. So we met Buddhist monk. We met a modern day lady samurai in a bamboo forest. Why not? Went sumo wrestling.
This guy was massive. As you can imagine,
he was a Yokozuna. Yokozuna effectively means there is only one. He was the grandmaster. And we walked into this room, and the size of this man's back was like this couch, which I'm sat on.
It's huge.
But he was, I thought he was stood up when he was sat down. He was so big. And we walked in, and we'd actually been sumo wrestling the day before, and I like rocked up the next day, like a bit of a.
So competitive. He's so competitive. Most competitive thing I've ever seen. It's firstly, there's loads of things. Sorry to go. Firstly, you can't, if you have tattoos, you're considered part of
gang,
the Yakuza.
Yes. Yeah.
So no tattoos were on show, which was the first thing. Secondly,
didn't like that.
They didn't
one
like,
place allowed me to fight.
Yeah. The only thing that I can describe is you have Ugo there, and then you have the sumo wrestler.
Did
on
you
the
go
other
up
side.
Against the giant?
No, he was retired.
But he went up to one of their sort of proteges, and this guy was like a proper sumo wrestler. It was honestly like two trucks. You know, if you've ever seen sumo wrestling, you sort of stand. You put your fingers on the ground next to each other and you go in sort of a ruck formation against each other, and you basically have to push each other either to the floor or outside of the circle.
But what's more brutal than that? So you're like crouched down and you almost lead with your head, and so many bouts are lost or won between these two people coming together, and they just go head on head. Someone gets knocked unconscious.
Yeah.
Like bulls.
That's literally what it is. So what you try and do is, as sumo wrestlers, you try and knock their head straight away.
Right.
You go straight in. So you have Ugo and this other guy. Honestly, it was so aggressive and so frightening. And Ugo refused. And then when he threw this guy, who's meant to be like the next big thing, out of the circle.
Oh, did you do him?
He went, yes, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Tats on show.
We're learning about respect. And I'm like, in your face, in your face, I've ended your career. Yes.
This guy was so, felt so much disrespect. Oh, he couldn't believe it. But this, the sumo wrestler was insane. He was like 28 stone or something like that.
It was crazy. But he was like, he was really cool. And then they do small little exercise to demonstrate. We watched them. The one thing I didn't realize how flexible they are. They're like, some of them are like 170, 180, top in 200. The old dude, the grandmaster, was like 280, as you said. Mm. But they can all do the splits. And they're all like, because you look
that
at them.
That would be so off-putting. Like,
yeah.
It's really odd. Yeah. But it was amazing. This guy in his hands, I can't tell you. It was so big, like basketball hands. And we met this guy. And then we also went up to a sauna, salt baths.
Got salty.
And you have to
very salty.
You have to go into the salt bath completely nude.
They didn't tell us.
O2, what do you like?
Once again, like, there is a link of like nappies and like just kind of going back to your younger self. So you go in, you have a shower, and you sit on a potty.
And you shower yourself.
Before you go in the bath?
And Ugo and I are standing there, so then you go into the bath. And meanwhile, you know, we've known each other over the years, but we haven't spent a whole trip together, right? We've never gone on holiday. Yeah,
you've not worked together.
And we are standing next to each other. And I'm shock. I'm white. And
also a very white man. Very white.
And Ugo's black, and he's 6'5", and I'm 5'8" on a good day. And we're standing next to each other. We couldn't look more opposite, and we're completely nude having a conversation in these Japanese salt baths.
It was wild.
And then I turn around and I turn back, and Ugo's doing a mangina.
Yeah. If there's anywhere to break the ice, it's...
I've actually got the photo.
It was just a remarkable trip.
When did they should have briefed us? I guess the point of briefing us, you didn't want to brief someone too much because you wanted every reaction.
They get a lob on. Jay would be warming up. He comes out with an erection.
They didn't tell us. They didn't tell us anything.
No, because I remember just like walking through, like, been to spas before, and I'm just there like little tighty-whities on and whatnot, walk through and they're like, okay, cool, you just need to get ready. I'm like, bro, I've just had a shower on the potty. I have my trunks.
I've never seen a bigger willy in my life. Honestly, I couldn't. But it was like your penis had been in the weights room. It's like your penis had
essentially it has.
I even said, does your penis have a Peloton subscription? Because honestly, it's been
Peloton.
It's been spinning or something. I don't know what was going on. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
I think it's fair to say.
So you guys got to know each other.
We did, and we really have harnessed the values of Bushido. Respect.
Yeah. It sounds like you really tuned in.
No, but we got to say this. We were incredibly respectful. And it was an amazing experience. Yeah. We had this amazing time, and it then was put up there, and it was really well received by the whole. Everyone loved it.
The hardest thing to film that day is us being naked, but then being able to put it onto YouTube.
I know.
And so we're walking around, and one of us might just turn around. The camera's like,
don't move away. Yeah, but the best thing was that then we went and played this rugby match. So you can explain this again.
So in Japan, like, rugby's a big deal there for them, and they're hosting the World Cup, but not they don't have grass everywhere. But it's not an excuse for them because they're double hard, and so they play on gravel.
Yeah, they do. They play on gravel.
So they were like, Jamie, Hugo, you're both going to play on a side, and I was like, cool. Where's the pitch? They're like, that's a car park. I'm not playing a car.
What shoes do you wear to play in gravel? Like?
I wore trainers. And at this point, after sumo wrestling, which is done on sand, you're doing so much pushing and shoving, the level of abrasion on my toes. I know I'm a pussy. I spoke about my
Your toes
finger.
Have been an issue throughout your life.
Yes, they have. So I'd split and blistered the undersides of my toes, and then they got infected. But I was like struggling to walk. They were absolutely disgusting. So what better antidote for it than playing a game of rugby on gravel? So we both picked a side. And this was a day after Jamie, in fairness to Jamie, we played inside, didn't we, the day before? Yes. And Jamie beat about 10 defenders, combined age of about 32. They were rinsing kids for fun and celebrating.
It's like when Boris Johnson body checks that small child.
They were 8 years old.
He was smoking and fist bumping himself.
They were 6 to 8 year olds, and I sprinted around them and scored and celebrated. And Hugo was so angry at me for doing it. He was like, what are you doing?
Because our team were really good. Like, we had some wicked players. And then Jamie scores like a last minute try and celebrates to crush these Japanese kids' hearts. I was like, Jamie, what are you doing?
Literally.
So we then play this rugby match of playing on gravel, and you've got an ex-England, ex-Lion professional, right, who is, you know, he's just sort of left being pro. He catches the ball on the 20-yard line and runs and break. These guys were good players. He breaks through every single tackle. It's like a steam train. He's running through, starts everyone, and there's only the fullback left. The fullback is me. So he is running straight at me, all filmed, straight at me. We're on gravel. And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to have to take him low here because he's running. It was honestly like...
Have you seen the film Backdraft?
No. Yeah, I have. Yeah.
When they open the door.
Oh, it was like that. He ran in straight over me.
I think is there footage of this?
Yeah,
I think I've seen it.
There is footage.
You have rigor mortis. You like straight over.
The thing is, I genuinely like... I wanted to play, but I didn't want to play rugby because the first time I got the ball, like, I'm now just this target. So I get tackled, I land on my elbow, bang, split my elbow, full of blood. I'm just like, this is
calamity.
I'm just like, this is rubbish. Can we just get like the footage we need? And then, so I'm just like, I really don't want to, like, this is terrible me saying this, but it's true. It's how I felt. I was like, I don't want to go on the floor again. Like, and then they kick the ball over my head. I'm like, I'm actually going to have to run with the ball. And so I did. That's the only reason I ran. I was just happy to catch and
he
pass.
He ran through the whole team. What was your 100 meter time back in the day?
10.6.
He's 10.6. He's 6'2", and he's like 15 stone. And I was like, well, I've got him. Like, honestly, straight
before or after Brad Thorne?
This was after Brad Thorne.
Yeah.
Oh, but it was this amazing trip. And just so what I always find, buddy, is like when you leave a sport, how much do you miss it?
I don't miss playing. I don't, because I think when you dedicate yourself to something for so long, there is this unquenchable thirst for just more. But all I want to do is play for Queensland. I did play for Queensland, play for England, want to do that more, want to play for, like, where does it stop? So there's always a little bit of that. But I always say, like, I've moved on without moving too far away. I'm still heavily involved in rugby. What I miss is, like, the changing room. I miss the changing room.
Really?
Oh.
Like, people, it's, what, it's a nice changing room.
You just, like, love the feng shui of it. Just the decor. It's amazing. It's a little bit like this, actually. Lovely.
Is it just the, it's the camaraderie?
100%. So a lot of people ask me, like, so I played at Harlequins 14 years and we won the Prem back in 2012. And that was, like, my favourite day playing for Quins. What was your best moment on that day? I think people expect me to talk about when the final whistle went and we lift the trophy and like 80,000 people in the stadium and just doing that. And that was special. But actually, it was walking down the tunnel, walking into the changing room, shutting the door and just that sense of satisfaction. Because you're surrounded by everyone that put everything in to that success. And my team, I'd grown up with everyone. So it was wicked. And it's those moments. And I'm like, it's really weird. I'm fascinated by change rooms because they're...
You're a complete freak.
Total freak. Total freak. But, like, you know, I work in media. We want to put microphones and cameras everywhere to be able to see and bring people close to the game. But in a change room, if those changing rooms could speak, it would be the most compelling film and story you'd ever have heard or watched in your life. Because I've had the darkest days, the darkest days in those change rooms, and I've had the best highs. And they're all contained within those change rooms, totally away from every camera, just the people who were there. And that sense of unity and that level of camaraderie is what I miss. It's a bus trip back from Manchester after a good win and there's a few beers and a couple of pizzas. That's what I miss about the game. There's probably been three or four games, and I've been retired 6 years, which I wish I played in. But that feeling that you get when you're part of something is... that's hard to
replace. It's also, there's also this conversation, right? And this is a little bit deeper behind, you know, how old were you when you retired?
32.
You're 32. Like, okay, yeah. So you're 32 when you retire.
Yeah.
You know, rugby, we know, is like a pretty, it's a physical sport. So your body is pretty battered.
Yeah.
32 is...
back surgery two weeks ago.
Yeah, well, exactly. There you go. You know, your feet, whatever it is. This happens a lot. And that's, you know, rugby, there's all sports. But 32 is, that's your beginning of your life. And you're quitting a life already to then start a new life. And I know with you, you're not lucky at all because you're hard at work. You're great with you. You're presenting BT Sport. You're doing Question of Sport. You're doing Strictly. You're all over the shot. You're the front and center of everything to do with sport and TV and everything at the moment. And it's super proud to see. But for the individuals who don't have that opportunity and they have to leave what they love behind.
Dark.
It's dark, right? And there's this big thing now about with all sports, not just rugby, but all sports, NFL, you know, all over the world. There's huge mental health when it comes to this area. So how do we challenge that?
It's really tough. I think every pro sports person, when they retire, will suffer.
Did you suffer?
Physically, I think you suffer in one of three things: physically, financially, or emotionally, mentally. I've had friends that have had all three of those things, like whether friends of mine that need shoulder replacement, hip replacement, and so that's the physical side of it, or not quite sure their sense of direction, what they're going to do next, that can lead to depression. So they are connected in some sense. I've been pretty fortunate. If I've suffered in any of those three things, it's just been my body. Like, I've been very fortunate that I've been able to. So I retired in 2015. And yeah, 2015. The first job I did after that was working on the World Cup. That's amazing. Like, been really fortunate, and I've worked hard ever since there. But if you're retiring mid-30s, if you think if you didn't play sport, you went to uni and you took on a life which a majority of people take on, in your mid-30s, you're probably trying to peak. Mid-30s, you're resuscitating and starting a new career. And that is tough. The other thing is, I think there's a sense of like emotional going cold turkey. Every Saturday at 3 o'clock, I had a shot of adrenaline go through my body, ran out to the crowd, buzzing.
That endorphin buzz. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right. Crazy, right?
And then it's gone.
Yes.
Then it's gone. So my week was focused on what I tried to do every single Saturday at 3 o'clock. Bang, just win, 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 everything. And then that goes, and then you lose that sense of purpose and the kind of human scaffolding which you have around you, which is your team.
Yes.
And you're on your own and you don't have a sense of purpose. And I'm actually doing a job which I don't like because I've played rugby since the age of six. That was my life. Who am I? What am I doing? And your job becomes who you are as a person. Hi, I'm Hugo, rugby player. Like everyone, you're just Hugo, the rugby player. And then you're not. So when I retired, when people asked me what I did, I said I played rugby. I didn't know what else to say.
Yeah.
And the fact is, no one needs to introduce themselves like it's this human LinkedIn transaction. Hi, I'm such and such. I run this business. Hi. But you don't. But there is such a sense of who you are is your job, because that's what you're known for. That's what your drive is. That's your raison d'etre. Like that's it. That is it. And then it goes. Like one of the hardest days, silly, was when I got booted out of the WhatsApp group. I'd been retired 3 days. What? What's that? I was like, excuse me? Was that? All my mates. I was just like, what?
Oh my God.
But all
but
those...
it's not out of it. It's not out of it. It's just because you're not the part of the
not
team.
There. Not there. Not part of the team. Mm. You guys are in and that's it. So it's kind of losing that. And lots of people who have been in the army, they talk about it and it's not that different. And it is. It's a real big challenge, but it's something that I'm really passionate about, because I know that I've been fortunate enough to transition from one career into another, but I also don't want to spend the second part of my life looking back and reliving everything that I did.
Mm. Which a lot of people do.
They do, and therefore you probably, I don't know. It's
and
not
yours wasn't stripped away from injury either, really.
No, look, I got offered a new contract to stay on, and I decided I want to try and do something else. And there's a million and one reasons why I did it. My mum said I should crack on. She first said I shouldn't play rugby. And then I said, I'm going to stop. And then she was like, no, crack on. So.
But that's also anxiety driven, because you're waiting from contract to contract. Well, and you're coming to the end of your contract in any sport again. And you know this because you're in the sport. You're just waiting. I don't know if I'm going to be signed again.
Yeah, I don't know. I think really good professionals almost make themselves redundant. Like I signed my last contract at age 29, 3 years. And I cracked on, but I think what you want to do is then hand on the baton to the next person to be able to fill your shirt, your shoes, and then continue the club's success. So there is a part of you, when you get to the end of your career, you actually need to give up some of yourself for the benefit of the next person. Where I'm not sure there's many industries like you guys on this podcast.
Mm.
If in 5-10 years there were a couple of like young guns on the beat,
Jamie would never give it up. He'd literally, his face would be hanging off and he's still.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In rugby, can you, obviously, can you be financially sound forever if you want to be?
I think there's limited people that can. We're not talking football money here where you can retire and just go, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, it doesn't matter because I've been earning millions of pounds since I was a teenager. Don't have that financial security. But in one way, it's really good to not have that level of apathy about what you do, because it means that you need to get up and get out and discover what you want to do next. Age 29, signed 3 years, and I was like, I'm either going to continue playing rugby at 32 because my body's great and I love what I do, or I'm going to spend 3 years figuring out what I want to do. And my strategy was I wanted to find out what I didn't like rather than what I did like. We've all had
it's key partners
where when you realise, like, I never ever want that again in my life. And so you never look at it. So I looked at loads of different industries, and then I kind of stumbled into what I do now, media career. Someone, good friend of mine, I work, guy called Nick Mullins, his wife spoke to Nick and said, I reckon you go be a good broadcaster. So he went for coffee in Twickenham, sat down. He said, I think you should give this a crack. And I was like, go on then. Worked really hard whilst I played, trying to upskill myself. Found out all I wanted to do was figure out whether I'd enjoy it. So if I thought I'd enjoy it, I knew I could be okay at it. And I had a sense of fun. So I was like, sweet. And now kind of all I want to do is work with good people and have fun at what I do. That is it. Excuse me.
Sorry, you're choking up.
Yeah, I'm just getting a bit emotional. That's literally all I want to do. Work with good people, have fun with what I do. And I know not everyone can do that. There'll be a point in my life where maybe all I need to focus on is getting bills paid.
Mm.
But up until that point, I'm just going to try and live in that world.
What's more nerve-wracking? Playing Premiership final, playing for the Lions, broadcasting your first ever live show, or doing Strictly Come Dancing? And be honest.
Strictly. Hands down.
I know.
Hands down.
I know. Go on, tell me. It's the worst thing in the world, isn't it? It's the worst thing. No one, you can't, to everyone listening, to everyone in this room, you can't bottle the fear of doing Strictly Come Dancing, can you?
There's so much to it. They talk about being Strictlified, don't they?
Yeah.
And they're like, we'll ease you in. And so week one, and the kind of wardrobe team that are there are wicked. Vicky Gill, Ezra. I love them. Like, I absolutely love them. And you go in for your fitting, and I'm in an electric pink sheer top. So when you get fitted, and like, I'm sure most men have been fitted, whether it's a foot suit or whatever, and your neck, your waistline, your chest. I've never been measured from my collarbone to my belly button. And they wanted aggressive deep V shirts on me. Like, who does that? Who does that? So week one, I'm dressed like as a Pink Panther with the most aggressive deep V, trying to do the samba. Like, really? What is that measurement? I challenge any man to tell me their collarbone to their belly button measurement. I tell my shoe size. Waist, neck, collarbone to belly button, collie button to navel.
Collie button.
Collie button to navel.
What's your collie button?
Collie button to navel. Measurement, please. What are you doing?
And you were with OT.
Yes.
She was crowned champion 2 years in a row. Big boots to fill.
Yeah, I know. She let me down, didn't she?
She did. She let you down.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, babe, we're obviously going to win this. I just need you to show up. And she didn't. Outrageous.
It's an amazing, but bizarre, but also just, the experience is hectic, right? What was it like?
It was the most consuming thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
But, it's...
You can't do anything else.
The way in which I try and explain it, so I would train 25 hours a week to play a rugby match. 25 hours, 80 minutes of rugby. I was doing 40, 45 hours of dancing for 90 seconds. Mm.
It was wild. And also what happens is you go into like your first thing and you get given the samba and you think, oh, I've got interviews here, interviews there. It's going to be really fun. First rehearsal, you come out and go, cancel everything. Fucking cancel it all. Cancel it all. Cancel it all. Cancel everything. I think we're not going to sleep. What the hell are we doing here? And then when you have 2 weeks on the first dance learned, because you have 2 weeks to learn your first dance. When you go into week two, you only have 1 week, which is half the amount of time, obviously. You
good maths.
Yeah, they killed it. You never think in a million years that you're going to get it right. And
no.
Even before the show, you're like, I don't even know what I'm doing here.
But you feel like you can build week on week. So we did 2 weeks of samba. I was like, okay, cool. Didn't nail that. I mean, imagine 2 weeks of giving everything, sleeping, tiredness, soreness, all the rest of it. You dance in front of like almost 10 million people and you're like, right, okay, judges. I've put everything in, but you don't get marked on the effort you put in because everyone would be a 10. I'm like that, first show, okay, first goal of the series. 3. What?
Sick. Yes.
I was like, no, pick up your proper paddle. Come on.
It must be out of 5, yeah.
Love
yeah.
a lol. Love a gag. This is not banter.
Three is so shit.
Did you ever get a three?
Honestly, I was like, ah.
3 is literally, because also what they do is they go, oh God, 4 is like that. 4. When they give a 3, they're like, that is toss. What they
just start feigning an injury. Ah, ah.
If it wasn't televised, the three is the equivalent of him coming across and just headbutting me. He thinks I've disrespected his industry. Yeah, he wants to guff on my face and headbutt me. That's what he wants to do. He's not even annoyed. He's so angry that I've decided.
That's anger.
Yeah, he's like that.
3, wow.
So I get a 3. I'm like, but you know they've got a tight shot of your face and see you pull the tight smile.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Hold it together.
How are my tears rolling into the back of my head inside my body as I have to internalize all this pain? And I have to, it's fine. And then you go to chat to Claudius, like, what about the judges? And then you don't want to anger them, like, because they have to judge you for the rest of the thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's fine. I mean, I just respect the judges' comments. It's fine. Hey, it's subjective. Dance subjective, isn't it? So it's fine.
No one realizes the amount of, because you just see the 90 seconds. No one realizes how much commitment goes behind closed doors.
And the dancers themselves, the professionals, like, not only are they dealing Muppets like me, they're then... So on a Sunday, you have a day off. They're back in the studio choreographing the next week. It's amazing. And it is amazing. It's one of the shows that I've done whereby everyone actually just wants you to get better. And it's really positive. It is so challenging.
Mm.
So challenging. And like that first week, I remember my dad passed away a couple of weeks previous. Mm. And I had my dad's funeral 3 hours before I had to do the first dance.
Jesus.
So I'm like this. Like,
how did you do that, buddy?
Mate, I genuinely still don't know. Genuinely not.
That's a lot to do. That's your sporting ability. That's your sporting mentality. Just going right. This is a job that I got
to
get done.
Yeah, I had to. You try and compartmentalize things and just get on with things. And actually, like when I'm under stress, I try and keep busy. Mm. Hamster on the wheel. Just do what I do. Just work really hard because. It leaves very little like space in your mind to think about other things. So it's like, right, just crack on. And my dad, he passed away in Nigeria. So it was like a funeral on Zoom.
Oh, shit.
I'm sat there in my dressing room. I can see Pink Panther outfit in the back. And I'm like that, trying to focus. Just like that. And then bang. Right, okay, cool, makeup. And I'm just like, yep. And then you crack on. And, you know, that it's just one of those things. But
how do you deal with grief?
How do I deal with grief?
That's a big one.
That is a big one. I don't think very well, actually, to answer it. I don't think very well at all. It's weird because I'm a massive advocate for like mental health and...
Speak about things and opening up and...
Yeah, 100%. Was it last year or 2019, 75% of all suicides in this country are by men. It's mad. It's so disproportionate and... I don't know. The stigma around it's been eroded, but trying to encourage people to speak. And I talk about it because I want to influence more people to not get to that point. Absolutely. But then it's something which I try and practice myself. But I'm still not very good at it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm getting better.
Dude, it's the hardest thing. Well, we were talking about this the other day. What's so easy is that we say as individuals, right, we've got to get over the stigma. What's very hard is to allow ourselves to do it. It's very easy to say, okay, you're that person. Come on, talk about it. But then when it comes to us as individuals, we can't do it still.
100%. Imagine, like, I don't know, I see it on social media a lot whereby people are like, can you recommend a gardener or this or that or that? Imagine if a bloke just put on Twitter, can anyone recommend a good therapist? I wonder how that would be received.
You're so right.
Because if I responded and went, oh, this is a therapist I've been chatting to, I'm also admitting that I've struggled and therefore I'm weak and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But actually, that could be really, really helpful. That could be the best recommendation you give to someone who just wants to speak. But it's funny how certain things you can talk about openly and other things people don't want to. But, you know, I need to be part of the solution in terms of speaking openly. And I do as much as I can. But it is a skill,
it's a tricky thing.
A skill that I need to get lots better at.
Do you know the funny thing as well, buddy, is that you're obviously one of the captains on Question Sport. I came and did
it. Oh, yes.
Did I tell you the title that came out?
What was the title?
So here we go. The title that came out.
Did we win?
Yeah, we bloody won. Obviously. How do you not remember that?
The nation loves Jamie Lang.
The title that came out afterwards, as I did Question of Sport, was Question of Sport Slammed. After nobody made in Chelsea star Jamie Lang joined panel.
Do you know what's so frustrating about it is that like everything, things change.
Yeah, of course.
Things change.
And it's a good thing that things change.
100%. And people will say, well, Paddy, actually, I'm not even going to mention that, but people will critique and say lots of different things about the captains as well as a presenter. Fine, whatever. But I don't understand why you have to be an ex or current professional sports person to go onto a professional show.
Damn straight.
Sport is there for everyone, absolutely everyone. And so by that same metric, if you've never played the game to professional level, why should you be allowed an opinion about the sport then? You've never played it by your own measurements.
Yeah.
Because you have to be a professional to be on this show. And sport should appeal to more than just people who have played it at an elite level, because there's so many fans of the game, of any game, that haven't played it, who have a genuine enthusiasm, probably be able to articulate themselves better than people who've even been involved in it. So I want to be able to get sport out there and for it to stretch as far and wide as it can. And there'll be people who are fans of you that may not realise you're a massive Chelsea fan and that you were excellent javelin thrower and cricket ball thrower.
Everyone knows about that.
Everyone knows about that. If that gets people into the sport, brilliant. We had Anton Dubek on the show. And people are like, why Anton?
Yeah.
He is probably the single best contestant we've ever had.
Yeah, he's amazing.
His sporting knowledge was obscene. There was one question. Who was the first person to throw a 9-dart finish on live TV?
Phil Taylor.
No.
Who is it?
I don't know.
Did he know?
He knew.
Did he not remember it? What?
Because it was so niche.
Honestly, but I was just like, I wouldn't have a clue. I mean, I literally wouldn't have. We could get on. We could get on so many different people, but I want to be able to export sport to more than just this kind of. And I'll tell you what, for whatever people say, our viewing figures are doing really well.
Yeah, you guys are
really
killing.
Really,
no, you're
well.
Great.
But also, who's slamming it? Do you know what I mean?
It sounds like it's just depressed. I find it hilarious. But listen, I think
which is Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I just want to say, because you're my buddy, you're just super proud of you, man. You're just killing it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and just also just don't want to say it, but one of the funniest and nicest guys I know. There you go. Said it.
You don't want to say it.
Said it.
You said it. Said anyway. It.
All right, I said it.
It's been fun. No, thanks for having me on.
Don't worry, mate.
No, genuine. It's cool.
You enjoyed it?
You put up a post about candy kittens the other week. You're the fastest growing
confectionery company in the UK.
There you are.
There you go.
Props to you.
Yeah. Right. So there we go. We're just sitting around just complimenting each other now. Right, that's about it. Should probably wrap it up now, shouldn't we?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
All right. So, well, what we...
Is this how you... Because this is quite a professional setup. That was so not professional.
Yeah, it was fucking awful, but I quite liked it.
I've enjoyed this. You've killed it.
I had a great time. What we do like to do at the end of the podcast.
Here we go.
Is leave our listeners with something inspirational. That's how we started the podcast.
Oh, gosh. With something inspirational.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you mean, oh, my gosh? Come on.
I mean, that's...
You're in the changing room. The lads are 50K. You're in the changing room.
Your toes hanging.
The lads are. You've got no toes left. You've got a whole next half to go. It's the World Cup final. You're 15 points down. Your captain.
That's 2019.
Okay. You have to. We lost. You have to rally the troops to bring them back.
Can I tell you?
We all turn to you. Yeah,
there's a funny story actually, because I think it's 2007. World Cup in France, England playing against Africa, and there's a famous, whenever you say there's this famous person, I'm not sure whether you should ever say that, because people be like, who is that person?
Yeah, who is the person?
There's a rugby player called Mark Regan, Bristolian, very funny, and everyone's got a million stories on him. But he was trying to rally the troops in the way in which you're talking about right now. They're down against South Africa, who then went on to win the World Cup, and he's in a huddle. He's like, lads, the first half has been crap and blah, 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 blah. We need to rise from the flames like a pheasant.
And that's when they knew they'd lost.
This is World Cup. And so shoulders are shrugging like this, okay? And people like catching one another's eyes. And it's like, I don't know. I'm not sure this is the time to have a gag. But he's been deadly serious and he's still going on. Anyway, and the lads are like, cheers then, let's go out second half. The boy's chatting to him and he's like, mate, do you know it's rise from the flames like a phoenix? He went, oh, I knew it was a bird starting with an F.
Perfect, let's play.
You go, okay. Thank you so much for the fucking see you next week, everybody. Bye bye. Do you think that you could, if Hugo ran at you, do you think you'd better tackle him?
I'll give it a go.
You give it a go?
I think he might. Do you think he might damage me? But I reckon I'd be able to.
You'd be able to take him down?
Yeah, just get low.
Just get low.
That's what they used to say.
I remember when I was at school, my housemaster was a rugby coach and his son was about 6 years old. And we were playing rugby and he had a couple of beers. And he threw a dummy pass to me and threw it at his son. And the ball hit his son in the face and gave him a bleeding nose. And he went, man up. To his five-year-old son.
Man up.
He's
bleeding.
Man up. Hey, everybody, hope you enjoyed the episode with Hugo. Don't worry. Remember, we're going to see you next week, every single Wednesday, for another bonus episode. And if we don't see you until then, have a great and lovely day.
Enjoy it. Have a coffee. A fresh
or a red velvet cake.
Yeah, or a matcha latte.
Oh, or a donut filled with custard.
I want all of those.
Cinnamon roll.
Yeah, you gonna keep going?
Nope. See you later, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.